stand and turn to page 169. We are going to sing Power in the Blood. Page 169.
Yeah.
I don't think we really have any announcements other than, I believe, Tuesday. Pastor will be traveling back, so keep him in prayer as he and his family come back from South Carolina. Amen. Make sure everybody calls him, sends him a text, and tell him he has to come back. He's probably enjoying the good weather, warm weather down there, but don't let him know it's snowing up here. They might reconsider. Tell him it's 75 and sunny, waiting for him to come back. So keep them in prayer for sure. I don't think there's really anything else. Is there anybody know of any other announcements? I don't believe so. I think that's about it. So we will go right in here to our final song of the night. We're going to sing page 530. Page 530, A Shelter in the Time of Storm.
I sing because I'm free, For his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. Let not your heart be troubled. His tender word I hear, and resting on his goodness, I lose my doubts and fears. Though by the path he leadeth, but one step I may see. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. For his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. Whenever I am tempted, whenever clouds arise, when songs give place to sighing, when hope within me dies, I draw the closer to him. From care he sets me free. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he cares for me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he cares for me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. For his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me.
Amen.
Thank you for that, Brother Ralph. I absolutely love that song. I never get tired of hearing it. Now you can sing that one every service. Song. Well, good to be back in church tonight. Get to announce my dad coming up here and preach. I'm excited to hear what the Lord laid on his heart. So, no further ado, all the way from the mean streets of South Allentown. Traveled all the way in, flew in from 15 minutes away. Here he is, my dad.
I'm not as spiritual as Brian. I'm only carrying one Bible. But he's a lot younger and tougher than I am. He has two, three, four. The only way I could carry more is if I took a couple from underneath the chairs out there. I was just talking to Kathy before I came up here. And I said, quite honestly, the more I study this book, the more I realize I don't know anything. I don't know if any of you feel like that. You know, sometimes I feel like, the depths of this book is just so deep that we'll never get to the bottom of it. Yeah. Not in our lifetime. One day it'll all make sense when we're home in glory. But I want to say this out in front before I even preach tonight. You know, today has been such a blessing for me. Ralph did just such a superb job with Sunday school. I enjoyed that immensely. It was a wonderful job of teaching, good job of instruction. I really enjoyed it. And to hear my son preach, it really touched my heart. I told Mom, you didn't know this, but it's ironic, but when I first got saved and I was still going to Crossroads, I preached a message out of that same text. It was one of the first messages I ever preached. But hearing both of you, what you preached on today and what I'm going to attempt to preach on tonight, it could only have been accomplished by God and God the Holy Spirit, because all three are intertwined. Now that isn't by coincidence. There's no such thing as coincidence. That's God's intervention. So if you would, our text tonight is going to be John John chapter 8, verses 31 to 36. You're turning there and I'm standing up here looking silly, and I need to get there. Okay. You know, Brian stated early this morning that how difficult it is to stand up here and to convey what's on your mind to preach. And it's the same with song leading. Same thing. And it made me muse, because I always think to myself, you know, he did such a wonderful job and Ralph did such a wonderful job. But it reminded me of what one person will say, and those of you who know me and know how I like to fool around will understand this statement. But your mind is a wonderful computer. It never stops working from the minute you're born till the moment you get up to speak in public. Okay, so and that kind of hits on what Brian was saying this morning, because your mind gets to racing and you're thinking of all these different things. So I'm going to try to stay on track tonight. I was telling Sister Kathy, I mean, I like to study the Word of God and spread it all out and dissect and look up words, and I just love doing that in the Word of God. But our text here is John 8. 31 to 36, and I'm not even there. I'm talking and I'm not even there myself. 31 to 36. They said to Jesus, to those Jews which believed on him, "If ye continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free, shall make you free." They answered him, "We be Abram's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for this distinct privilege of being up here and being able to share what you've put on my heart to these fine folks. Lord, both messages this bit in the morning and the Sunday school have been wonderful. And this is just really a complimentary to what was been preached here today. Although I had no idea what both were going to preach. But Father God, I pray that you'd help me to teach it in a way that would be a blessing to those that are here. Lord God, this is an awesome responsibility, as I said Wednesday night, to be able to stand up here behind this sacred desk and to share your word. And I pray, Father God, that you'd give me the utterance. Lord, I pray that you'd move me out of the way. Pray it, hide me behind the cross. Ask you, Lord, to help me to be a blessing to these wonderful folks. And I'll give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. America, I'm going to try to draw a contrast today. And you'll get the gist of this as I continue. America is one of the greatest places on the earth to live, if it isn't the greatest place on the earth to live. We're so blessed that I believe a lot of times we as Americans take everything for granted. I mean, we truly do. And I'm guilty. I gripe and gretz and complain and moan about things that, you know, if I would just stop and think for just a moment how other people have it in the rest of the world, soon realized how blessed we are and how rich we are individually. There's four things I wrote down that I hope God never allows us to forget. And these are some of his blessings on America and us as citizens. Just these four things. Number one, our national blessings. America's a good land, filled with good people. And it's a beautiful land. We live in a beautiful country. Any of you who have done any amount of traveling whatsoever, whether you've been to the West Coast, the East Coast, South, North, we live in a gorgeous country. I mean, you know, you could go to California and be on the beach sunbathing and in 2 hours be up on a mountain skiing. For one instance, that's just one. But I think the most wonderful thing about our country is it is a land of freedom. We get to go where we want. We get to do what we want. We get to say what we want. You don't get that privilege in other countries. So we're very fortunate. So that's the one point, our national blessings. But I also wrote down our personal blessings. You know, just consider, we have homes that we all live in, where if you think of other people around the world that don't have it as good as we do, just if you live in the smallest, most modest home, compared to other people around the world or in third world countries, you're a millionaire. They live in hovels. Pastor, when he was in the Dominican Republic, those people have nothing. They have nothing. We have good clothes to wear, more than enough. Some people in other countries, they're lucky if they got a pair of pants and a shirt on their back. Some in the jungles have to make their own clothes. They don't really have clothes. You know, we take the simple things like, I have a bunch of suits in my closet and a bunch of shoes. No, I don't have as many shoes as my wife has. Nobody in the world does. But think about it. What have we got to complain about? We have more, and I'm standing behind here so you can't see me. We have more than enough food to eat. Some people are lucky if they get a little bowl of rice for the day. Maybe a little fish, I don't know. You know, but we have so much. We also have a lot of money. We have enough money to spend and places to spend it in. You know, we work jobs, we make money, and we spend it on different items, and we go different places. How fortunate we are. I think the biggest thing is that we, one of the big things is, I'm getting a little ahead of myself, we dwell in, for the most part, safety. Our communities are more likely than not pretty well policed and taken care of. We don't really have to worry about a cartel coming in and busting up our home. Now, I'm going somewhere with all of this, so please, just hang in with me. Okay, so we see we have national blessings, and we see we have personal blessings. But we also have, number three, spiritual blessings, our spiritual blessings. And I'm thinking about this, I'm thinking, you know, I wrote this down. I said, we've heard the gospel preached. Now, that might not seem like a big deal to you and I, but I can assure you that's a big deal, a very big deal. How fortunate we are that we've heard about the Savior. I'll bet you most of us in here could say that all our lives we've heard about Jesus. We've been in churches, maybe not good churches like this, but we were in churches for the most of our lives. So we've heard the gospel preached. We have a free salvation through the gospel. Amen. Can't do anything to earn it. It's a gift. It's free. So fortunate we are that we have free salvation through the gospel. And we have this, we have the Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And we have Bibles galore. Well, Brian does. Brian has Bibles galore. He's going to open up a bookstore. Bibles galore. And we also have, this is the fourth point, national blessings, our personal blessings, and we had our spiritual blessings in our last one, and then we'll get into our text, is our liberty in law. And that concerns me, because it's something that's being rejected today, is the enforcement of our laws in our country. You know, I look out at our country and I see what used to be right is wrong. What's wrong is right. People just do what they want to do. You know, and a nation that rejects its laws, guess what? It's soon going to become a lawless nation. Just like a country that doesn't maintain its borders, it's no longer a country. So, in our text, and I'm going to go back. My text is really going to be in verse 36. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Twice in our text, we see the word free. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. You see, we have liberty in our conversion. Well, what do you mean? Well, you're never truly be free until you know Christ as your Savior. Now, we'll develop this point as I go on, but think about what bondage you're in prior to getting saved. We were all in bondage. But in bondage to what? We'll see as we go on. You know, when Jesus appeared on the scene, and I might be getting a little ahead of myself with these extra notes that I have here, but it'll all tie in. It doesn't really matter. Says, you shall know the truth, and the truth again shall make you free. When Jesus appeared on a world scene, the age of philosophy was mostly dead, if not dead. You know, there was Plato, there was Socrates, Aristotle, Diogenes, did I say that right? Diogenes? You went to college? But Diogenes, I guess. Those are all names that are familiar to us. We've all heard them at one point or another. But by the time Jesus arrived on the scene, they were all dead and gone. And so was their quest for truth. Now, in the 18th chapter of John, Pilate questioned Jesus, and he asked Jesus, he said, are you then a king? And Jesus responded, to this end was I born, and for this cause I came into the world, that I might bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of truth heareth my voice. And Pilate naturally responded sarcastically. And he said, well, what is truth? Here's where we get into the dilemma. Philosophy couldn't find what truth was. They couldn't come up with a definite definition. And it's the same with philosophy today. Philosophers have come to the point where they say there is no universal truth, absolute truth. Everything is relative. So sad. If it's true to you, then it's true to you, but not necessarily true to someone else. It's all subjective and relative. I don't know about you, but that sounds like pluralism to me. And pluralism is nothing, does nothing but breed confusion. There is a right and there is a wrong. There is a truth and there is a falsehood. But people in our times want us to believe that, well, whatever your truth is, that's truth. No, I'm sorry. It's not. There's only one truth we have today, and I'm holding it here in my hand. And I hope none of us ever lose sight of that, because it is the only truth. I wanted to make another point on this, but I think I'll... I'll wait on that point. Where am I at? Okay. Number two. So we see we have liberty in conversion. Number two. You have liberty in continuance. Well, what are you talking about? Well, continuance is a state of permanence. You know, when you're saved, you're saved. You know, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That doesn't change. It doesn't change. It's constant. God said it, and that's it. Our Lord in these verses, here's a point. He was addressing Jews who believed on him. He said that the truth shall make you free, and you will never be fully, truly free until you know the truth of God's word. But they really did not understand what that meant. Salvation makes us free from many things. Many, many things. And I have seven things. You'll be out of here early tonight because this isn't a very in-depth message, but I think it's one that we all need. And I wanted to preach it because, you know what, sometimes we need to be... Remember where we came from. And that was a lost and dying world. Now we have hope. So salvation makes us free from a lot of things, but I have seven items that I just want to name. I'm going to have a drink because I seen two other guys do this today, so I'm going to... okay. Salvation makes us free from the curse of the law. Turn to Galatians 3:13, if you would. Those of you who have your Bible here tonight. Galatians 3:13. It says, what shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? 32. I'm reading the wrong passage. I'm sorry. Christ hath redeemed us from the... good catch, Ralph. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. It is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree. Now,
the Jews were great believers in Moses and the law. They followed it through the ignorance. They didn't know anything about God's amazing and saving grace. They totally missed the point. God gave them the commandments to show them what sinners they were. It was a barometer, a thermometer to show them how much they needed Jesus Christ. And they totally missed that point. We are saved under grace, not the law. In Christ, we as believers have true liberty. Why? I'm the one who was guilty. I'm the one that should have been up on that cross. I should have been hung. Jesus took my guilt. He took my guilt that I should have had to pay for. But he provided propitiation for me. He took everything on himself. Now, I don't know about you, but I really, really struggle with that when you think about what a wonderful thing Jesus Christ did for us. We take it for granted, and we shouldn't. We shouldn't. I mean, how many times, every time we let the Lord down, I mean, we are sinners and we're saved by grace, of which I am chief. I moved Paul out of first place. I'm first place. And I have to tell you, I'm so thankful for what Jesus Christ did for me and the freedom that I have in Christ. Here's another point I wrote down. And this one really grips my heart. Two, salvation makes us free from the guilt of sin. If we look at Romans 8, verses 31 to 33, Romans 8, 31 to 33, Romans 8, 31 to 33, what shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? 32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. There's a case against limited atonement for us all. He didn't just say for one person or this person. No, for everybody, for the entire world. Christ died for all the world. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Verse 33, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Satan, the great accuser. But he can't lay anything to our charge because the Lord declares us not guilty. Our sin, as we all know, has been put on Christ's account. You know, I can sleep good at night knowing that I'm free from condemnation. How about you? We're no longer under condemnation. We're free. We still a sinner? Yeah, we still a sinner. but were a sinner delivered from the penalty of sin. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see, here in verse 33, in the answer, the Jews were giving to Jesus, said, we're Abram's seed. Or is that verse 34? We gotta look it up. They were saying that. I lost my spot. We are Abram's seed, and we've never been in bondage to any man. What do you mean we will be made free? See, they didn't understand what Jesus was teaching them. Those who are free indeed. They didn't understand that. Pastor alluded to this, I think last week or the week prior. I'm not really sure when it was, but it really struck me funny, and I'm going to use it as an example again. You know, it's a perfect picture of man today. We're in bondage and we don't even realize it. Not us, the unsaved world. They're in bondage and they don't even know it. At the time that when they were talking to Jesus, the Roman soldiers occupied Judea and Galilee. Now, they were forced to pay taxes to Rome. But at any time, if a soldier was walking down the streets or wherever he was walking, on a byway, wherever, I don't even know if they call them highways, but if he saw a Jew, he could say, carry my luggage. And that Jew was required under Roman law to carry his luggage for a mile. The Roman soldier didn't have to carry it. And then he would look for another Jew and say, you, pick this up and carry it for him. They were in denial. Yet they were saying, no, we've never been in bondage to any man. Pardon me? Pardon me? That Roman soldier just made you carry his luggage for a mile. And now he's going to make another one of your countrymen carry it for another mile and another mile and another, for as far as he was going. And you don't think you're in bondage to any man. The world today, the unsaved world, let me qualify that before I... The unsaved world today thinks they're free and that they're gaining freedoms every day. Think about what I'm saying. They think they're free, and they think they're getting freer every day. Now, I don't mean to get into politics, so please forgive me, but I'm going to use it. They think the federal government today is perhaps their best friend and is giving them all kinds of freedoms, when in reality, they're taking your freedoms from you. They did not understand that the truth shall make you free. They were in real bondage, and the bondage is of the bondage of sin. Whoever commits a sin is a servant of sins. You don't have to turn there, but Romans 6:16 says, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourself servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. If Jesus isn't the master of your life, if you get anything tonight, please get this. If Jesus is not the master of your life, then your life is mastered by sin. I'll say it again. If Jesus isn't the master of your life, then your life is being mastered by sin. And you can't serve two masters. You know, you can't be a fence rider to those who don't know the Lord. They think, well, that's like fire insurance, and they can just sort of straddle that barbed wire fence, and they can live like hell during the week and come to church on Sunday and everything's good. No. In Revelation, it talks about he'll spew them out of his mouth. And I think Peter did a great job of describing that. And I'm almost done here. So let me see. Free from the guilt of sin. Okay. Are we still sinners? Yes. Yes. But one thing about us still being sinners is my third point is that salvation makes us free from the domination of sin. Think about that. Sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. Romans 6:14. There's not a sin that we don't commit that we can't have victory over in Christ. I think we all ought to say amen to that. Because there's not a sin that we can't commit, that we can't get victory over. Look, I stand before you here this evening, and I just want you to know this. I may not be all that God wants me to be, but I'm not what I used to be. Why God allows me to come up here and preach is beyond me. I was explaining to Kathy back there this evening. You know, really, I mean this sincerely. I don't mean to be graphic or vulgar, but I consider myself to be a piece of dung. You know, my thoughts are evil. My heart is wicked. Yes, I'm a sinner saved by grace. Praise God. And I know what God delivered me from. We've been freed, and this is such a blessing to me. We've been freed from the dominion of sin in our lives. Now, some of us may perhaps continue in sin if we don't want to conquer it. Well, you know, it'll still be in our lives. But we get through this process of sanctification, and we're called to be holy. Amen? Be holy as I am holy. I'm paraphrasing, but you know what I'm saying. Well, it seems to me like we ought to be spending a whole lot more time. I should be spending a whole lot more. I'm not even going to point a finger at you because I know where I should be. And I should spend a whole lot more time on my knees seeking God's face and staying in His Word. Because that's why I thank Pastor so much for his preaching and what he said. You know, forget about what's going on in politics and in the world. Stay in the Bible. Folks, we don't have much time left. But I just want us to realize how free we are. How liberated we are. My fourth point is salvation makes us free from the power of darkness. You could turn to Colossians 1:13. Colossians 1:13. And For those of you who can't find it, it's after 1st and 2nd Hezekiah. It's right in those are my favorite books. I know I say that all the time when I'm preaching, but I just like that. Doesn't take a whole lot to amuse me. Craig, what are you laughing at? Salvation makes us free from the power of darkness. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son? Now go back to the beginning of that verse. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness? What's that word talking about? It's a religious state that the unsaved believer is in. It's a condition or a type of spiritual ignorance. They've never been taught. They don't understand. They've never been discipled. First of all, they need to know how much they need the Lord. Once they understand that, once they get saved, then they can get into the Word, and the Word will make a whole lot of sense to them. But we should be discipling those kind of people. And they're in ignorance and they're in immorality and misery. Well, what do you mean? Listen, so many people in our country and around the world, but I'm just speaking of America itself, are under the power of Satan. They really are. Drugs. Alcohol. Perversion. Child trafficking. Prostitution. I mean, how many other vices can I go on? I mean, it goes on. The list goes on and on and on. Look where our country's headed. Look where our country's going. But praise God, because salvation makes us free, many of God's people were once enslaved by these things and are now set free. They're delivered. You know, today, and I've told you this, and I know I'm being redundant, so please forgive me, but the day I got saved, I never took another drop of alcohol. That's 30-some years ago. Never touched another drop. And I tell you, I always had a fifth in my truck underneath my seat. That's not counting all the alcohol I drank at home and all the beer I drank at home. Why my wife stayed married to me, I'll never know. But God knew what I needed long before I knew what I needed. And people today, they separate the two. And I totally resent that. They'll separate drugs and alcohol. Alcoholism is drug abuse. If you're hooked on alcohol, try quitting. It's drug abuse. Let's not sugarcoat it. Let's not compartmentalize. It's drug abuse. And I'm so thankful for what God's done for me. Briefly, if you would, and I'm almost done. 1 Corinthians 6:11. First Corinthians 6:11, and it says, and I can begin to read, and it says, and such were some of you. Now your particular sin might not have been drugs or alcohol or perversion, and I certainly hope not. But we were, each and every one of us, before we got saved, we were sinners and we needed to be saved by grace. So such were some of you. But you were washed. But ye are sanctified. But ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, that verse alone makes me want to jump up and down and shout. And I could give you a lot of other verses that I wouldn't want to. You'd be sitting here going, okay, that's enough, that's enough. But I could give you a lot of them. The other verse I had, and I should have had you turn to it prior. I'm sorry, and I apologize. Turn back to John chapter 8 again and look at verse 12. Please forgive me. I didn't realize that I had this verse. John 8:12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. Oh, that's where we as sinners like to walk. Amen. That's where sinners like to be, unsaved. They like to be in the dark. But we've been translated, but shall have the light of life. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? Today we have the light of life. You know, I always tease people. I say, you know, if you can't be happy about your salvation, at least get excited about mine. You know, glory to God. You know, I shout amen and I get excited. Let me tell you something. Sometimes it's very hard for me to stay in my seat. Why? Hey, listen, I grew up in a bar room all my life. It was the most comfortable place for me to be. You know, I was like Norm on Cheers. I'd sit in a bar. When I got saved, and I'll give you by way of it. I got saved, I lost every friend I had. Now, I'm not kidding you. Every friend I've had. Ask my wife. Of course, the majority of them were booze hounds like I was. But they all thought I was crazy. Nobody can change like that. No, no way. There's nobody changes that way. Nobody can do that. You're right. I couldn't do it. But Jesus Christ could. And I used to tell my friends, I get saved. I said, I'm no longer. Oh, come on out and have a drink. No. I said, you know what? I could go in there and sit, and I'm freer now than I've ever been, but I will not go in there and sit and rub elbows. No, I won't do it. I won't do it. I've had a guy walk out of my restaurant because Pat knows who it is. I won't mention his name. Really close friend of mine. We grew up together. I started witness to him. He just walked out of my restaurant and never talked to me since. And to this day, if he sees me in a parking lot somewhere, he'll walk past me as if he doesn't even know me. But you know what? It's worth it all. Can you imagine what those people would think if they saw me in a bar room now? Imagine, just think. What would you think? What would my brothers and sisters think? Even if I wasn't in there drinking. Maybe I went in there to give somebody a track and to witness to them. Well, I was telling the truth, Lord. you would probably think, oh, I told you Glenn was a phony. He slipped off the wagon. He's in the gin mill again. Oh, wait, what I got is real. I understand what Pastor's talking about when you get saved. He knew something in him changed. Well, let me tell you something. I knew something in me changed. And I said all of that to get to my fifth point. And I got to hurry. I guess I'm taking too much. If I get to be going too long, just throw a hymnal up here. I'll get the idea. not you. Salvation makes us free from the fear of men. You know, I got to be honest with you. That's Hebrews 13:6. I really don't fear what men can do to me. You can't threaten me with heaven. What are you going to do? Put a bullet in me and send me home to glory? Thank you. Let me draw an X on my head so you don't miss. No, I'm not saying that that's what I want to happen. Hebrews 13:6. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. I'm not worried about what men are going to do to me. I'm not even worried about what people say about me. I'm going to witness for the Lord. You know, when you go out, we're holding signs out there. Great. Kathy, you know, my wife, Brian and Erica. People yell things at you. I can't tell you how many times people have told me I was number one. And they, glory to God. Amen, brother. It's not me they're rejecting. It's the Lord. I had a guy yell at me Saturday, telling me I was a phony. How could you? He wasn't even, I was holding up a Spanish thing. He couldn't have known what that meant. But I thought, man, what did I do to deserve that? I don't know, you know. They yell all kinds of things to you, but not all of them. There's a lot of people out there that are very supportive. But I'll take that abuse. I'll take it. You know, the world hated the Lord long before they hated me. I understand that. We neither wrestle, I got to learn how to speak, wrestle with flesh or blood. And I don't fear them. I know that God holds us, his children, in his hand. And greater is he that is in the world. That's 1 John 4:4, was it?
Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world.
Yeah, that's what I said. You just didn't hear me right. I just mumble a lot. Yeah, that's right. Because I was thinking, I was trying to think of where the verse was. It was, what's that, 1 John 4:4? Yeah, that's the only thing I knew. It's the only thing I got correct out of that. Okay. Point six. I'm getting there, folks. I'm getting there. Salvation makes us free from the sting of death. Amen. Amen. Can I get an amen? Can I get a witness out there?
Amen.
Amen. You know, you can say amen. It's all right. Amen. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 55 to 57. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? 56. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who hath given us victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't have to fear the grave. That's not our final objective. For us, it's graduation day. Amen? It's not see you, goodbye. No, it's I'll see you later. I'll see you later. I'll be the little fat guy running around the Crystal Sea up there when all the rest of you get up there. Who's the... it's Brother Glenn. There's no sting. There's no sting. God gave us victory over that. As we walk through the valley at a shadow of death, God holds our hand and we fear no evil. Folks, we're free, and we don't have to fear anything. The only thing we fear is you know, fear is sin. The Bible talks about that. We should be bold. And my last point, and I'm done. I don't know how long I'm supposed to be preaching till, but I guess it's getting to be about that time. One day, salvation is going to make us free from this present evil world. Now that ought to make you all want to jump up and testify. I hope you can get excited about that. If you would, it's up to you. You don't have to turn there. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Get there, just say amen. Everybody there? All right. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 to 18. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Oh, what glory that'll be. What glory that will be for me. What glory that will be for me. When by his grace I shall look on his face, that will be glory. Be glory for me. Folks, what I was trying to feebly point out here tonight is that we're free. We're free indeed. You know, we have so much to be thankful for. We have so much to be grateful for. God's done so much for us. And yet a lot of times, myself, I'm talking about me, we walk around as if we're defeated. And we're not. We're victorious. We've got a lot to rejoice about. God give us a wonderful church family to be with. People that we can share fellowship with and joy and comfort one another, laugh with one another, cry with one another. Sometimes this world gets tough. But God gave us brothers and sisters to go along with us, to help us along. Folks, we're free. And we're free indeed. Brother Ralph, would you close us with a word of prayer, please?
Again, Father, we're thankful for the privilege that we've had today to be in your house. As Brother Glenn has said already, you have used the three of us that spoke today, messages that kind of intertwined with each other. And it's only by your grace and mercy that that's the case. And you have just used are your service, and that's all we are. We're thankful for the opportunity that our pastor gave each one of us to participate and hopefully be a blessing and encouragement to each of the church family here today. None of the three of us take for granted that opportunity that was given to us. We thank you that you take people such as us and use us to accomplish your purpose in this life. All of us have something that we can do for your cause. It may seem relatively simple to us and not worth much, but your word tells us that whoever is faithful also in the least is faithful also in much.
Amen.
And so, help us to be faithful to that seemingly insignificant task that we don't think much of. But somebody is watching. Just like we learned in the morning message this morning, people are watching, whether they be brothers and sisters who may not have the same level of spiritual maturity as one may. But if that brother or sister sees someone step out in faith, knowing what your word promises, then others can follow suit and see the glory of God as a result. And the message will also make it to the ears of those who do not know the Lord Jesus. And they can recognize the difference in the life of a Christian and say, you obviously have something I don't have.
Amen.
When that opportunity comes, help us not to miss it. We call them sometimes divine appointments, but we miss it. Help us not to miss those, and may your Spirit impress upon our hearts those opportunities where we can share the word with people. And speak the word of the grace of God that has been shed abroad in our hearts and lives through Jesus Christ. Particularly when it comes to the trials that we face in this life. If the world sees how we treat those things and see how through the power of your Spirit, we are able to maintain the right attitude and have peace in our hearts and not fall apart like the world does, that will bring an opportunity to share the word with people. And at the same time, many a brother or sister may be helped by another brother or sister who has gone through the same trial and test before that. And if they come to that brother or sister who had the trial in the past, perhaps God can use that person to be of help in that time of need. May we do so. Our time is short, Lord. We do not know how much longer we have. The signs are all there for the Lord Jesus to come. May we be about the Father's business until he does return.
Yes.
Dismiss us now with your blessing. Please give us safety as we travel home. May we not forget what we've learned here today. May we, day by day, apply it to our hearts and lives so that others may see the difference in us. Please give the pastor and his family safety as they go about their time there in South Carolina. And on Tuesday, as they travel home, you can give them safety. We look forward to seeing them again on Wednesday night if you should carry Lord Jesus. Give us a good night's rest. Help us to be prepared for whatever it is that you might bring across our path tomorrow. Help us to be secure of knowing that you already know what is coming and have taken the necessary steps so that we can accomplish your will perhaps even in spite of whatever tests may come. Thank you for it, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. You're dismissed.